Thursday, February 1st, 2018. Welcome to the Daily Wrap-Up, a concise show dedicated to bringing you the most relevant independent news as we see it from the last 24 hours. So to begin today, I would like to address some criticism that I've received in the past few days. And this is a statement that I have made many times in the past. And that's really somebody asking, you know, why am I reporting on this? Or whether or not the things I'm saying are true, or my perspectives are true, or really, you know, just generally questioning everything that I present. And as I've always said in the past, I am not now, nor have I ever presented myself as an expert in any of these fields. I am simply an average individual who has risen to fill a need, a void left by those whose very charge it is to inform. Every day I strive to challenge even my own firmly set perspectives and take every opportunity to stand back and ask myself if the alternative is possible, to question my beliefs and constantly look for new information from every side of the argument. That does not mean I'm always right or that I will forego from giving you my opinion. But if all you're looking for is an echo chamber, an outlet that's only going to reconfirm your partisan ideals and avoid challenging any widely held ideas, then you're in the wrong place. And when you finally begin to see the propaganda machines that these mainstream outlets truly are, I'll be here and I will welcome you back and any challenging yet constructive thoughts you may have. So let's get into it. Starting with the first story coming out of the freethoughtproject.com, cops raid licensed chef's home, steal his cooking equipment for feeding the homeless. This is one that we've touched on recently and really just generally the war on the homeless and the ever-encroaching, ever-rising police state in this country. This is a very interesting story where essentially these police officers raid this man's home and steal his cooking equipment for the idea that he is illegally feeding the homeless. I mean, I immediately take issue with the idea that it's illegal in any way, shape, or form to feed the homeless. I can maybe understand the idea of a business and their liability factor of being sued, which is ridiculous when it's a whole other topic there. But I understand that at least, that there's a liability issue there. But for an average individual who wants to go out and feed starving human beings and that they need a permit or some kind of regulation is stopping them from doing so is crazy to me. But so what we're seeing here is, again, this effort where it really comes back to the regulation nation here, where everything we're possibly trying to do, it's not really the idea of freedom that we're being presented with, that in reality, that there's a control mechanism for everything. I think there's a much larger idea in place here. There's many different ways you could take this, but really what it comes down to is that there's a control mechanism in place that is not allowing us to show compassion for our fellow human beings. And it's something that, you know, again, I always go back to the idea of the encroaching police state, which it pretty much comes down to the fact that they can go in and do anything they want as long as there's some vague law on the books. And it always goes back to the idea of whether, you know, just because it's a law doesn't make it moral. And just because these laws are being passed by these immoral politicians, does it mean that we really have to follow them? And that's a whole different conversation as well. But this is one that should stand out to us as just incredibly lacking compassion, obviously, but just encroaching on the simple idea that we are free in this country. And if anybody wants to go out and try to feed and save these struggling human beings due to the systems right now in place, there's also a topic to get into on the percentage of veterans that are out here starving and homeless. But again, many different conversations wrapped up in this one idea. But this is one I recommend you all go read for yourselves. And really reach out to people in positions you think may make a difference and express your frustration and how this is happening, this general, you know, war on homelessness, which is absolutely crazy. Moving on to the next story coming out of the Middle East Monitor, UK lawyers call to suspend Saudi Arabia membership to UN Human Rights Council. I mean, thank you, finally. I mean, first of all, I honestly don't think this is going to go anywhere. There's many reasons why this entire subject is completely manipulated, but finally, somebody speaking out about the ridiculousness of Saudi Arabia being on any kind of human rights council. Again, this always speaks to the amazing hypocrisy around this issue as far as the United States as well, about Trump's executive order and the idea of, you know, seizing the assets of human rights violators. It's wildly hypocritical when you understand what's really going on around the world. But Saudi Arabia specifically is one of the worst violators of human rights, even in their own country and abroad. I mean, you could talk about Yemen and how they're openly committing genocide on average civilians, and how, you know, really what's going on there. I mean, another article coming out of Geopolitics Alert today, 17 civilians killed, 20 injured from Saudi Arabia airstrike in Yemen. Just one of many, many, many articles about Yemen specifically. But you can also talk about what goes on in their own country, beheading people for small crime, all kinds of things. I mean, that again, all of these things, many, many different topics we could get into. But it should be wildly absurd that they're allowed to be on some human rights council. And that really comes back to the idea that they're an ally of the United States government, which is why they're largely disregarded in all of these discussions. And it's something that needs to begin to stand out. So it's nice to finally see these lawyers calling them out. Sadly, again, I just doubt it's really going to go anywhere, but it's a step. So that's a positive thing. Moving on to the next story coming out of ZeroHedge.com. Just some updates on the whole memo distraction, which I've been pretty open about my opinion of this. But again, it's something that's, you know, dominating the headlines. So we need to continue to report and make sure that you guys are getting the full story here. Update today coming from, first, Nancy Pelosi had kind of a tantrum about this, calling for Nunez to be removed from the council. And then Bloomberg reports that the White House plans to sign off on the memo's release today and send it back to Congress with the declaration that it has been declassified, where then the committee would have to release the memo. Just another step and another, I mean, it's continually more ridiculous every day. And now they're claiming, Fox is claiming the release is likely to come Friday morning. And it just goes on and on and on. So now we have an issue where it goes back to the committee and for them to then release it instead of Trump declassifying it, releasing it himself, which he could have done from the very beginning. So I foresee many other roadblocks coming for the committee themselves and discussing the memo and you know, really moving on to the next story coming out of Zero Hedge. Schiff accuses Nunez of, quote, secretly altering the FISA memo before White House review. So another aspect added here where now they're claiming that the memo has been altered and it's not the same one they originally saw. I mean, it just continues to go on, which again, I think this adds another layer here where now they're going to say, well, is this the right memo? Has it been altered? So it's going to add more time, continue to distract people. And, you know, I always have to point out that the idea behind this memo, that it's showing, you know, deep-seated corruption in these institutions, I think that's very obvious that that's happening today. So I'm not arguing that this memo, or at least what the alleged content of the memo is alluding to, I think that's very clearly what's going on. And I don't think the memo matters in the regard that we already know this stuff happens all the time. FISA violations are, it's widely known that they're manipulating and spying on everybody without authority, or rather without the legal avenue. Authority is a whole other aspect. But again, this whole topic continues to go back and forth with more layers added. So now is it the right memo? Is it not the right memo? I mean, it's now Trump released it and they're supposed to release it tomorrow. And it just goes on and on. So always we need to exercise caution here and continue to focus on what's really going on around the world instead of this back and forth idea of the memo. And the next story coming in of ZeroHedge.com, FBI director ready with rebuttal if memo released. So it's clear that whatever's in the memo will reflect poorly on the FBI. And we've seen this also come up where now they are asking them not to release it. For, you know, it's not accurate information, quote unquote, is what they said. So it just continues to go on and on with all kinds of aspects that are going to, in my opinion, drag this on for a lot longer than we think. And I think it's also more important over the overarching point of this entire story is if this is released, like they're claiming, and it's not released with the accompanying source material and information behind it, and it's just basically claims with nothing to back it up, that still means nothing. We need things that can support the claims. Otherwise, it means nothing. So right now, there's a point right in discussion whether or not they're going to release the accompanying information or just the memo. So right there, it shows us that might even just happen where they release the memo with no accompanying information. And now we don't even know if it's true. Again, I truly think that we need to just go move past this story and move and focus on what's really going on in the world and until if and when it actually comes out, and then critically analyze it to see if there's anything really of value in there. Now, I mean, I'm sure I'm going to get criticism for saying that we shouldn't be talking about this, and I continue to talk about it. But the point is that I feel obligated to keep the truth in this discussion so people aren't just blinded by the idea of this memo. Because again, these so many headlines come out talking about how this is a real thing when we've yet to even see what's going on either side. So be critical. The next story coming out of ZeroHedge.com, cryptos tumble after India says it will, quote, take all measures to eliminate their use. This is a very interesting one because, you know, I've tried to touch on this every time simply because I think there is so much manipulation in regard to cryptocurrency today, as I've always said, because it's something that they're very afraid of, that they cannot control, and that absolutely is not going away. So we continue to see these attacks on it. And really, a lot of these are just simply statements. They don't really mean anything. It's just countries and governments openly saying that we're going to do this or we're going to do that. And more often than not, it doesn't actually come to pass. But it's something that we need to begin to be aware of and stop letting it affect the markets. There's also a lot more than just, you know, people that don't understand the markets pulling their money out when they're scared. There's a lot of manipulation coming from the Wall Street side of it as well, which again, we need to make sure that we're simply, you know, there's two ways to look at this, whether or not you should be in for the small gains, trying to get small percentage gains and pull out, or the long term. I tend to think this is a long-term idea. Most of these cryptocurrencies, I shouldn't say most, a lot of them are probably not going to be around for much longer because there's going to be kind of a purge of a lot of these random ones that are in there that don't really mean much. But there's a lot of cryptocurrencies out there that are very, very important. A lot of blockchain technology that's going to be very important for the future. So we just need to begin to continue to research each one of these and don't just randomly invest in things that you don't understand. And then invest in the ones that you truly believe in and be in for the long game. Don't sell off immediately when it starts to fall. Stick with it because truly, this is the future. And anyone willing to address the reality behind this technology can easily see that this is the future of not only currency, but so much more. So don't let this stuff scare you away. For another small aspect to add, Coinbase is now charging exorbitant fees to use a credit card to add money to an account. So again, it's one more small aspect and way that they can manipulate our ability to get involved in this entire movement. It's because ultimately they cannot control the larger movement. All they can do is come out with statements and try to manipulate the markets and stop us from getting involved. But that's why we advocate for Steem It. Get on Steem It and start spreading your information and start sharing your thoughts and commenting and upvoting. And all of it earns you Steem dollars, which is cryptocurrency, which can then be moved on to Binance or whatever you choose to use and then be traded for other cryptocurrencies. Very interesting. So you don't need any dollar aspect there. And it's also, we just saw that Binance added Steem dollars to the trading. So that's very interesting. There's a lot changing here. And there's a lot showing us that regardless of these drops, there's a big future here. So stick it out. A lot coming. Moving on to the next story coming out of the NewYorkPost.com. North Korean athletes arrive in South for Olympics. Now, this is an interesting story that I'm noting on because there was a lot of manipulation flying around about how North Korean pulled out of the peace deal and they're not going to participate in the Olympics. Even I was fooled in this. I truly thought that this is what I had theorized and that this was due to the U.S. pressure and they were just decided to pull out because they didn't want to be made a fool of at the Olympics with Pence there and all the other points that we were talking about. But I guess that was all manipulation because they arrived and they're there. The article notes that despite losing their place after failing to register, they were handed one quota place by the International Olympic Committee. North and South Korea have agreed to march under a single flag at the opening ceremony, which is something we noted on before. So again, it just shows you that this is going forward and that there is peace being made between these two nations, at least in regard to the Olympics. And all of the talk about them pulling out of the Olympics and they, oh, we knew it, it was a big trick, seemed like fake news, apparently. We'll see where it goes, but we know that the North Korean athletes are there right now. So clearly they're going to participate. And I would be very shocked if they chose not to march under the same flag, which just shows you there's a lot of U.S. manipulation in this story. Ask yourself why. Moving on to the next story coming out of the dailybell.com, how stress makes you sick and easier to control. Now, this is one that is very interesting and is very important to really take a moment and understand. And I recommend you read all of these articles that I discuss. But this is one that talks about two different factors here. There's a very good video that I will put in the show notes by Simon Sinek that talks about the interesting, the way the body works ultimately in a way that we completely are not taught in school in a way that we almost just don't understand. And I think there's a reason for that. But it's a multifaceted aspect of the different chemicals that your body produce based on the way you're feeling. And the one that this is talking about is cortisol. It's the fight or flight mechanism. Your body releases cortisol in certain situations. And it goes back to an anthropological aspect of where you're in danger. So your body shuts everything else off and gives you essentially cortisol, which makes you, it's fear for the most part, but it heightens your senses. It makes you hyper aware. But really what's important to understand is that when you feel stress, at work is the most important point being made here. When you're at work and you feel stressed or threatened or any of the things that we constantly feel at work, your body literally shuts down. Your immune system shuts down. Your hair stops growing, which is interesting. All these different aspects where your body is hurt, you're being hurt, essentially, because it's only meant to be a temporary thing to get you out of danger. But when you're at work 8 hours a day and stressed out, this is making you sick. This is making you die earlier. It's hurting your body, and it's not meant to continue. So cortisol is dripping throughout your body all day long. And this is showing that it's having a major effect on our lifespan, on our body, on our health in general. And there's 2 points this article goes into, that essentially stress allows your body to be more easily controlled by pathogens. So it makes you sick more often, like we were just saying, but it allows a whole nother level of control when it comes to propaganda. And the article makes an excellent point in saying that there's a difference between being concerned and stressed. We should absolutely be concerned about government oppression, but to let it add stress to our daily lives actually increases their control over us. And that's the second aspect, is not just making you more sick, but actually, like, via propaganda and many other ways, being constantly stressed with cortisol running through your body allows a whole other level of manipulation from the government specifically, which ultimately this article argues is exactly the point. So we're sicker, we're weaker, we're more susceptible to control. And so this is something we need to continue to think about. If you're stressed out at your job, if you're unhappy all day long, find a different job. I know that's not as easy for everybody as it sounds, to simply just find another job, but it's your health you're talking about here. And that has to take precedent over finances, over security, over everything. Your health has to be more important. And in getting into a similar health topic coming out of collectiveevolution.com, CDC director resigns, but CDC conflicts of interest are par for the course. Media outlets are announcing the abrupt resignation of Brenda Fitzgerald, the physician appointed in July 2017 to head the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. The resignation follows in the heels of reporting by Politico, which uncovered conflicts of interest pertaining to dubious investment decisions made by Fitzgerald after she became the nation's top public health official, including the purchase of thousands of dollars of tobacco, pharmaceutical, and healthcare stocks. And most headlines are focusing exclusively on the CDC director's investment in tobacco companies, which strike observers as hypocritical in light of Fitzgerald's prioritization of tobacco prevention initiatives while serving as public health commissioner for the state of Georgia prior to joining the CDC. However, Fitzgerald's sizable investments in the pharmaceutical and chemical giant Merck and Bayer, among others, should raise just as many red flags. This is something that is widely practiced among the entirety of the U.S. government. And just because she got caught, now it's being exposed to some big thing. I often think these are simply release valves. This is somebody who's being kind of thrown under the bus to make us always think, oh, they got caught, something's happening. They're always out to get these people. But no, this is something that is a very regular occurrence among anybody in government. Whether you're talking about the revolving door and working for lobbyist groups after they get out of government and vice versa, or simply being involved in a high position of power where you have financial ties to the very groups that you're supposed to be regulating and controlling to some degree. That has to stand out to us as the largest point of the day here, is that the corruption, the deeply seated corruption from all aspects of the government today and all governments, as far as I'm concerned, is something that is so prevalent today that this one story doesn't even do it justice. And just really, to my opinion, kind of overshadows the biggest issue, that it's everywhere. For more information on the topics discussed, make sure you check out thelastamericanvagabond.com or the important independent sites in the show notes below. And as always, question everything and come to your own conclusions. Stay vigilant.